Lecture 21, Ancient Egyptian Civilization to the Old Kingdom.
We now enter a completely different world from that of Mesopotamia. In the next two lectures, we're going to describe ancient Egyptian civilization, arguably the longest lived and the most flamboyant of all the civilizations, one that has the greatest appeal to a large audience. We're going to devote two lectures to this. The first one will cover the beginnings of ancient Egyptian civilization, which developed at about the same time as the Sumerian city-states, and we'll end with a description of the Old Kingdom, the era of the pyramids. And then in the next lecture, we'll talk about the classic period of Egyptian imperial civilization of the Middle and New Kingdoms as a sort of setup for a wider look at the Eastern Mediterranean in subsequent lectures. In this lecture, we begin by describing what was happening in Egypt before the civilization came. We'll describe the competing kingdoms, which flourished along the Nile after 4000 BC, and describe how two of these kingdoms, Nekhen, then This, became dominant in Upper Egypt. And we'll also discuss the important symbolic meaning of unification, because the Egyptian civilization was always deeply driven by symbolism. Then we'll discuss the consolidation of the new state, culminating in the pharaoh Djoser's dramatic move towards pyramid burial in about 2650 BC. And then we'll describe the wave of pyramid building by Old Kingdom kings, which culminated in the magnificent pyramids of Giza near Cairo. And then finally, we'll describe the Old Kingdom court and the foreign policy of the pharaoh before recounting the collapse of the Old Kingdom in about 2180 BC. By 5000 BC, and as we saw in an earlier lecture, small farming villages flourished along the Nile, from the first cataract at Aswan to the Nile Delta. This long, linear, green arrow of fertile land, heading north through the Sahara Desert, is the setting, the stage, as it were, for ancient Egyptian civilization. 2,000 years later, in about 3100 BC, this patchwork of small kingdoms which developed from these villages had become a unified state, ancient Egypt. Now, from the very earliest days of agriculture, Egypt was really two worlds within this linear universe. There was Upper Egypt, a narrow floodplain which extended from the first cataract at Aswan to about the region of modern Cairo. And then there was Lower Egypt, flat, comprising largely the broader valley and the flat Nile Delta, where the river flows into the Mediterranean. It has been likened to a lotus flower, with the flower at the Mediterranean and the stalk going deep into Africa. The geography of the Nile meant that Egypt was very different from Mesopotamia. It was a linear land, with settlements along the river being linked by the Nile. By about 4000 BC, around the time when cities were beginning to develop in Mesopotamia, many small kingdoms had sprung up along the Nile. They traded and competed with one another in an endless game of what one Egyptologist, Barry Kemp, has called a game of political monopoly. Everyone, the leaders, were maneuvering for advantage, for diplomatic advantage, for prestige, for wealth, for control of vital resources. They were trading such things as brightly painted pots over large distances. And inevitably, through this process of political monopoly, some of these kingdoms became more cheerful, more powerful than others.